Welcome back to The New Talk, the Bob Davis Podcasts. This is a dusk podcast. I just made a fabulous steak on the grill, and this is one of those times where I actually made perfect broccoli. I'll tell you how to do that in a second. And what else did I have? A kale salad. Very simple, high protein, low fat. Well, not low fat, because there's plenty of fat in the meat, but a very simple, I don't know what you'd call it, Atkins style meal. And I also made perfect coffee this time around. And as the sun sets, I thought I would do a podcast. Now, as you know, we've been hearing a lot of talk about global warming in the last little while. I don't even know why. I used to know why and I forgot, but occasionally it comes back in the news. And I was talking to, I was out speaking last night. As we speak, I spoke in Chanhassen, and my friend Greg Ryan came out, Ryan Plumbing and Heating, and I called him today, and I was like, of all the things that we talked about last night, I did not call to find, I didn't even ask you what you wanted to put in your commercial. He goes, I know what I want to put in there. You should put in there that people need to be getting ready for the global warming summer, which is sure to come, by getting their air conditioning checked. It has to be at least 70 degrees for Ryan to come out and check your air conditioning. And you want to do that because you got to have the coils cleaned off, and you want to make sure that the filters have been changed. And you want to make sure that the AC is functioning properly, just for efficiency reasons in terms of bills paid, and also to make sure that it continues to cool. So that is the one thing. Get ready for the global warming summer. The other thing is interest rates are really low right now, and many people are adding things to their homes. They're putting in new bathrooms. And he wanted me to mention that Ryan Plumbing is standing by. If you're putting in a new bathroom or something to that effect, Ryan is standing by to help you with that. If you're putting in a new basement, like a special basement room for the winter, you want to make sure that you also ask them about in-floor heating. And then I always throw in that Ryan Plumbing and Heating is great for emergency service. When you have plumbing or heating problems, AC problems, emergency type problems, Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul is great. So here's the numbers. In St. Paul, you call 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, you can call 612-927-6488. They go to the suburbs too. They go to Richfield. They go to Plymouth. They go all over the metro for four generations. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems, residential and business. Ryan Plumbing and Heating on University Avenue in St. Paul, just west of the state capitol, where they've always been, unless the light rail runs them out. Think Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. And thanks, Greg, for sponsoring the Bob Davis Podcasts. So, yeah, I spoke at Chanhassen last night to the SD48 group, and it was great. And, you know, I love doing that because I still struggle with that whole speaking thing where I don't really want to have notes, because when I'm talking to a crowd of people, I want to connect with what's going on in the crowd. And it's hard to do that when you're reading a speech. The other thing is that being trained in radio, and I mentioned this to them, you know, if you've got a piece of copy in front of you, the tendency is to read the copy, you know, so you're always sort of looking down at the copy. A lot of times when people go out and speak, they have a rote speech that they memorize and then they do. And I don't like to do that. The problem with that is sometimes you say things that you probably shouldn't say, or you don't get to the things. Really, what I find is that I don't get to the things that I really want to talk about, because, or I'll forget something that really had traction for me that I should have talked about that I never got around to talking about. But what's cool about speaking this way, and what I try to do, and for those of you, I'll be out, I think I'm going to do the Apple Valley Tea Party Patriots meeting in May. So that'll be at the end of May. I'll speak out in Apple Valley. And I have a lot of listeners out there. I keep moving this wire around. So if you're hearing this sort of bump, this wire thing, that's what that noise is. But anyway, I keep wanting to speak out in Apple Valley. And I have a lot of listeners out there, and I just haven't had a chance to do it. So I'm going to go out and speak to this group in Apple Valley on, I think, May. It's either May 30th or May 25th or something to that effect. Hopefully the weather will be better by then. But, you know, The thing that's great is when you go and you talk to people, you can sort of tailor your talk to that group specifically. And the idea is to get some dialogue going, you know, and actually have a discussion about the issues. And I bring this up because, you know, here again today, I do what I always do every day, and I didn't read it today, so I'll be honest with you. Today, usually I go through and I do a lot of scanning and I find news stories and I print them up, and I'll end up with anywhere between 100 and 300 pages of stuff. And sometimes if it's a really thick, you know, collection of stuff, my heart sinks. And that is not good. So whenever that happens, I realize I've got to just do a podcast where I just kind of talk. You know, sometimes we do walk and talks. Sometimes I just sit out here on the deck and talk by the fire and watch the sunset, which is great. Sometimes, you know, as we get closer to summer and it starts to get warmer, I'll do it out here with the tiki torches. But sometimes I have to do these kinds of podcasts because doing the updates and sifting through and reading everything can be difficult, and I have a love-hate relationship with it. As I've talked about it many, many, many times, I have a love-hate relationship with it in the sense that, you know, sometimes I love doing it and sometimes I hate doing it, and it's one of those things that you have to do if you're going to do this because you have to be well-informed enough to know, you know, what's going on out there. Well, I had to stop for a minute because, you know what's interesting? And I don't mean to be throw in a non sequitur, because I will finish the thought that I had in there before, but I'm starting to come up against the reality that my technology is becoming obsolete. And it's really kind of a surprise. I bought this. I'm using my portable Mac, so I'm using a Mac Pro portable that I bought. I'm trying to remember. I think I bought it in 2010 or 11, because I was down in Chicago doing shows at WLS, and I did not have a computer, and I had to go to those game places and use the computer. It was a disaster to do what I do, and so I finally just went to the Apple store and bought a computer for my trips down to Chicago to do shows there or whenever I needed it, and I've had it ever since. And of course it's updated, you know, I keep the software updated and everything, but I'm starting to run into these issues with memory and incompatibility and things like that. And of course my phone, which, and I've talked about this as well, you know, my 4C boat anchor iPhone which used to be so sleek and modern, and I'm going to have to replace it now because it's also, and it really is getting to the point where it's challenged. I mean, the start button doesn't work anymore, and but I just keep, it doesn't hold a charge, and it's so interesting how, and this is relatively new technology. I mean, this isn't even 3 or 4 years old, and I'm struggling with trying to figure out if I want to replace it or not. You know, I have an iMac downstairs. It's still great. You know, one of the big Macs, and you know, it still functions fine. In fact, I haven't updated any of the operating stuff because of various, I have reasons for that. But it's the same situation where, from a business perspective, you're like, I got to update. You know, I've got to retool, you know, technically. So that's kind of interesting. You know, it's just weird that that I'm kind of going through that. But so in the midst of recording the podcast, I was about 6 minutes into the thing, and I saw a message I've never seen before, which involves a startup disk and everything else. And let me tell you, I've been struggling all day with technology because I am getting ready to put some video up on YouTube that I took on the trip with a GoPro camera. And I borrowed the GoPro camera from my son to see, and I got some great footage, and I want to put it up on YouTube so people can see it. And I really struggled all day to get, actually all weekend, to get the video footage from the GoPro onto iMovie, which I hate, and so that it would save and I wouldn't look for the camera. And it was just, you know, it's, again, it's kind of a mismatch of new technologies. So I'm going through that, and I just think that's interesting. So it's been one of those weird days about technology that's just been frustrating, and I just went through that here. So I think I got everything. I had to dump a bunch of files onto a auxiliary hard drive, and I've done that. So it's a good thing it didn't happen on my trip, right? It would have been, of course, I didn't do any video stuff. Video takes up so much space on you know, the auxiliary hard drive. I've got a huge auxiliary hard drive here that I just plugged in. The thing is gigantic, and the video just just takes huge amounts of space, especially if you're shooting 1080p, which I don't want to shoot. You know, that GoPro camera is amazing because it's you can see the lint on the dashboard of the podcast mobile command unit, which is really cool. So anyway, you'll see that when I get that up, and that's kind of a new thing. But what was I saying? I was talking about my lament, and I don't want to be one of these guys that complains about the media all the time. And people go, well, you are the media. Not necessarily. I'm a different kind of media. Podcasting, especially individual podcasting, is different because this is not big media companies doing stuff. And anybody that's on the side doing blogging or a startup information website or something like that kind of isn't what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the big outlets. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, you know, the networks, and collectively talk radio and things of that nature. My biggest complaint, and we talked about this last night, is that it's focusing too much on personalities. You know, a presidential race is interesting because presidents, there's only one president. I mean, there's a ticket, obviously, as a president and a vice president running for office, but it's one person. So it tends to be personality driven at a much higher level than an off-year congressional race, which is really, I would assume, at least in coverage, tends to be driven by issues and the process and polling and, you know, real political type stories. And what we're getting is coverage of these people as personalities. And I just wanted to quick make a point about what these people are doing right now. So it doesn't matter who it is, if it's Hillary Clinton, Ted Cruz, you know, the whole range of people who have decided that they're going to run for president and declared it, or who are, you know, dipping their toes into the water, so to speak. They're not running to get votes right now. Let me give you an example. If you're running for Congress in the state of Minnesota, let's just say, or anywhere really, and you decide, okay, I'm going to run for Congress, you've got to start early to get enough money to scare off your competitors within your party and potentially any other party competitors. But primarily at the very beginning, what you're doing is you're collecting, you know, endorsements, and you're collecting money, and you're collecting, you know, delegates who can vote you in and nominate you at the party level. So then when you finally get to campaigning season, when everybody's finally won the state, either gotten the nomination or won the state primary, so you can get clearance to be the Republican or Democrat or whatever, but those are the two big parties, candidate, then what you've done is scared off any potential in-party opponents. In this case, well, in any case, Republican or Democrat. That's the objective. And that's what these people are all doing. They're going down to Iowa. They're going up to New Hampshire. They're going around campaigning, and it isn't because New Hampshire's going to have the first primary or Iowa's going to have the first primary. I mean, it's a statement of fact that they will, so I'm not saying that it isn't because of that, and I think that's part of it. But what they're really doing is they're campaigning to show off what they are and how they will work to potential big-time donors, the Sheldon Adelsons and the Tom Steyers of the world, the Koch brothers of the world, the people who have tons of money, and not just them, but the bundlers and the people who are going to donate $6,000 and $7,000 and $8,000, you know, whatever the legal amount that they can donate, or the PACs. They're running to impress those people and the operatives. So this is what's happening is it's being covered as though they're running for president right now. But really what they're running for is a nomination. And more precisely, they're not even running for primary votes right now or caucus votes. What they're running for right now is the people beforehand. Because the reality is with these big candidates, the fix is in. So when you go to the caucus in Minnesota, we have a caucus system in Minnesota. Other states have primaries. So when you go to vote at the polls in the primaries, that's a popular, you know, population vote. And usually the turnout is very low. So the objective there is to work with the operatives that are going to get the people turned out to vote for a particular candidate on primary day in a state that has a straight up popular vote for primary. But usually the turnout is not very high. It certainly isn't as high as a presidential election. In Minnesota, we have a caucus system. So what they're doing is in Iowa, which I believe also has some sort of caucus system or a town meeting type system, they're trying to get the political actives involved, because when you show up at the caucus, Joe Schmo, you know, Fred the Farmer shows up at the caucus in Iowa, you know, or in Minnesota on primary night or caucus night, you know, the delegates are already there that are going to vote for candidate A, B, and C, because they've packed the House. And if they're really good, they've packed the House and they win all of the precincts. This is why I talk about how important it is to have precinct organization. If you're in the Tea Party, or if you're in the Republican Party, or if you're a Democrat, I mean, the Democrats already do this. But if for people on the right, when I talk about organization, they really don't get what I'm talking about when I talk about precinct organization, because I think a lot of Republicans show up on caucus night, and that's a good thing. Or they show up on election night and vote, or they don't vote. But I don't think they fully understand what goes, the work that goes in to caucus night beforehand by the candidates, so that they can win the day. You know, when we get to next February and next January in Minnesota, you know, those caucuses they're going to do a straw poll for president, which is meaningless. But what we're doing is we're choosing delegates to go to the state central committees and to the county conventions and so on, and they will vote for primary candidates. They're the ones that are going to choose the congressional candidates. They're the ones that are going to choose the they're going to choose the state, you know, the gubernatorial candidates, and they're going to choose the presidential candidate. So if you want the state of Minnesota to work for candidate A, then the time to get involved at the precinct level, which means talking to your neighbors and getting people of like mind to caucus night and vote for your guy, that has to happen on caucus night. That doesn't happen. And I hear this all the time. People are so dissatisfied. Well, how did so-and-so get nominated, and why didn't he do what we wanted him to do? Well, you didn't vote. Your delegates weren't in force in large enough numbers for him to pay attention, or her to pay attention to what you that you particularly wanted. And once they get the election certificate, as some have suggested, they pretty much are free to do what they want to do. Obviously, then the wrath of the voters later. But the political operatives are working on the delegates. They're working on the internal workings at the state. And what's happening is the media is covering these guys like they're running for president, like they're talking to constituents, like they're out there on the hustings, you know, making these speeches about issues. And so we're focusing on personalities way too early and not focusing on issues, and not focusing on issues in a way that people can talk about them. We had some great conversations last night, and you know, I went easy on the politicians last night because and it wasn't necessarily because Keith Downey, who's the Republican chair, was there, but because it's easy to complain about politicians and they don't do what you're telling them to do, but we don't consider how difficult it is for them to have these discussions and you know, break these issues through to the public. You know, when you're at the Tea Party meeting or you're at a specific group of people of like mind, you all agree that this is the thing that should be talked about. But then you go out to Morris, or you go out to Cook, Minnesota, or you go out to these different places, and they have different ideas in those places about what they want talked about. So it's a struggle for these candidates and what they talk about and how they do what they do. And we talked about some of Minnesota's specific problems that I think are specific to Minnesota. Somebody mentioned a poll. I don't know who did it. And I'm going to expand on that a little bit. Actually, it was Keith asked, well, you know, we just saw a poll that shows that Minnesotans are left of center. They're happy with Obamacare. They think we should fund education more and so forth and so on. And I will, you know, being a pollster and being a research guy, first of all, let me just say a couple of things. Statewide polls are highly inaccurate most of the time because they're very small sample sizes. Secondly, I mean, if you're going to do a statewide poll, you have to have a large sample size. If I was going to do a statewide poll in Minnesota, I'd want to talk to at least 3,000 people. And I mean, that's certainly within, you could get away with 500 if you wanted to do that. But I wouldn't want that because you're not getting enough people from individual counties, and you got to make sure you represent rural versus urban, and then you've got to spread within the urban areas. For example, by zip code, you know, there are different constituents in Plymouth than there are in downtown Minneapolis or North Minneapolis, and both of them are the 5th District, let's say. Or St. Louis Park is a different constituency from Kenwood, and both of them are in the 5th District. I don't know if that was represented or not. And then there's the whole question about questions. But my response to Keith's question was, well, you know, how do we run a campaign when given that's the lay of the land? And this was the final conclusion was, I don't know if Minnesotans are capable of having a conversation where some of these more radical solutions about reducing the size, scope, and power of government are going to be present. I think there's a viscerally negative reaction to that conversation, and I don't know how to have that conversation here. And we were talking about Wisconsin, and my understanding is Scott Walker developed his own grassroots organization that propelled him to the governor's mansion because he had to. Because he couldn't have relied on the state Republicans. Now, maybe I'm wrong. And I think that's what's going to have to happen in the state of Minnesota for a strong candidate to develop their own organization that enables them to have this conversation to address some of these issues. We were talking about unions and things of that nature. But the thing that frustrates me, without being partisan, is that we're not having a conversation and we're not seeing coverage about issues that kind of explains what's going on. We see a lot of bias coverage that purports to be about issues, but it really isn't because we're not hearing both sides of the issues. I seldom hear both sides of the education issue. And in Minnesota, you know, it's almost in the state DNA that if you want to spend more money for education, then you're okay. And I believe the last thing we should do is spend money for education. And I think the way that conversation ended last night was I said, well, you know, I think what we could say is this. We could say, if you want to have the public-private partnership, if you want to spend money on education, that's fine, but we've got to get control of the budgets. And in order to do that, we've got to have some kind of Act 10 legislation that curtails the power of the unions in state government or gets rid of them, you know. And people say, well, that's anti-union, and the reality is that the unions are strangling government. And I've said this before, so I don't need to go on in too much detail, but if you look at Act 10, you know, it's brilliant because it limits the unions to negotiating for salary, and at that, it's a percentage per year increase. They don't get to talk about work rules. They don't get to talk about other things. The state doesn't collect union dues, that type of thing. That's the kind of legislation we need in the state, and that's the kind of argument that we need to have in this state. And then we also need to have a conversation about right to work, because if we can curtail the powers of the union politically, then we might be able to have a conversation about spending money more efficiently in education, you know. And then you could say, well, you know, first of all, you wouldn't need more money because you'd be able to spend more efficiently. Secondly, if you did have to spend more money, at least you'd know that it would be going to the student. So, you know, that's an example of some of the stuff we talked about last night. I'm getting tired of seeing people act like goons, like Baltimore, to riot for the sake of rioting, and seeing this same situation where people from outside are coming in and agitating the locals who just are acting like goons, or people who are having conversations about issues that are completely uninformed about those issues. You know, I, for example, my discussion about unions involved in government, you know, I'm on one side of the issue, but I'm well aware of the arguments against that, you know, that position, con to the position of saying we need to get control of state workers. And in my view, it's a conflict of interest. But I understand the arguments on the other side of that issue. You have a lot of people who are watching and not reading, who are responding to and repeating what they hear in sort of this stovepipe world where they only see what they want to see. One of the things I guess I'm going to have to talk about at some point is how I do what I do, again, where when I print, I don't know where the stories come from. So I don't watch news. I read it. And I read it from a lot of different sources. I print those things up so I can't see where they come from. I'm not able to see who wrote the story or where the story comes from. And sometimes I can, but for the most part, I can't. And I end up having to read the story and think about the arguments. And in what happens is, I'll tell you, there's more than once where I've read a story and gone, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, come to find it was written by somebody I can't stand, like Thomas Friedman or, you know, Paul Krugman, although that never happens with Paul Krugman and Thomas Friedman. But you know what I mean? It ends up being not the Weekly Standard or some conservative publication like Breitbart or a website. It ends up being, you know, hang on, we got to wait for the fire truck to go by. It ends up being somebody that I didn't agree with, but somebody who made a good point. It's an ambulance. It's the podcast ambulance. Someone's got the podcast ambulance. Yeah, I didn't take the podcast ambulance to the event because it's still in the shop. So I'll have to tell you more about that at some point as well. But anyway, where was I? It's just I don't know where the stories come from, so I find myself, it opens me a little bit. And I think the biggest problem that we have is we have a tendency to only look at what we want to see and only things that reinforce our point of view on the left or the right. And that's why I say that media is probably the most divisive influence in our society today. It's not Congress. I keep hearing that Congress's congressional gridlock is what is causing the division among Americans. I don't think so. I think those guys, first of all, I don't want Congress to do anything. I think those guys are struggling because I think that their constituents are not well enough informed on issues that they end up going to the operatives and they end up going to the PACs and the bundlers because it's hard for them to have a conversation about what they're trying to do in Congress with people because they only know pieces of a story. They only know what supports their point of view. And that's been one of the great missions of the Bob Davis podcast is to at least try to illuminate some of these issues, whether it's economics or not. You know, even in trying to do an objective discussion of economics, I got one of these nasty, emails the other day about, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, blah, 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 which is, you know, I always know when the podcasts are getting a lot of feed because it reminds me of talk radio where, you know, the thing about podcasting is if somebody doesn't like what you say, they don't listen to the podcast. They just turn it off. You know, in radio, they listen and they get mad, you know, and then you get the emails about you're an idiot and you're a horrible person and everything else. Well, that's good, I guess, because it means that more people are downloading podcasts and listening to podcasts. But here he comes again. I come back down the street. I guess that's the fire command unit. There must have been an accident up there or something. I can't even tell what's going on. If the lights are flashing or what's going on anyway. I don't even know what I was talking about, and I don't care. So that's what I'm struggling with these days, is too much personality, coverage of individuals. I don't really care what Hillary Clinton did. And I don't want to get caught up in that right now, because what I want to get caught up in is spring. I want to get caught up in living my life, and I think other people are doing the same thing. There'll be plenty of time to get caught up in the vagaries of politics. I was talking to somebody last night who's one of these people who's been involved and has done the involvement in politics. And she said, you know, I used to look forward to fall. And it was such a fine time of year, and especially in Minnesota with the leaves and everything. And now I just cringe because I know I'm going to be very, very busy come fall because it's an election year. I guess that's kind of the way I feel. And you know what? Once I get into it, I'll get excited. And that's the reason for Mobile Podcast Command this year is to go out and actually get involved. And boy, I was just chomping at the bit because there was a big thing in Iowa this weekend and I couldn't go because this thing, the podcast Mobile Command Unit is in the hospital because I punched a hole in the ceiling in Salt Lake City. It's not the ceiling. It was the crease around the top of the box, and I don't want it to leak. So I had to take it over to Mako in St. Louis Park, and Don's working on it, and they take their time because they do it right. And so it's been there all week, and I couldn't take it this weekend, but I really want to go down to Iowa and go to this thing. So the very next big event in Iowa or Wisconsin, I'm going to have to go and check it out with the Mobile Podcast Command Unit. And I know when that happens, I'll start to get into it. But here's why, and I don't want to take up too much time with this, but I think it's really important. I don't want to keep reading about it. I don't want to keep watching clips on YouTube about it. I don't want to keep hearing somebody else's opinion about it. I want to go and see it for myself. And, you know, and I haven't done that. And I feel like I'm not doing my job because I'm not actually going to these things and seeing what these people are talking about. And I know when I went to the RNC at Tampa and also in St. Paul, I'll never forget. And this was at Excel, but I saw it at Tampa too. And it wouldn't make any difference if it was the Republican or Democrat convention. I will never forget just being amazed at the confluence of media. I remember seeing, and this was at Tampa, I remember seeing Michelle Bachmann walk through the crowd. And, you know, Tim Pawlenty came over to our table and he was walking around by himself and there was nobody with him. Nobody even knew who the guy was. And here comes Michelle Bachmann in a white dress, literally with a cloud of reporters from every part of the globe that you can imagine. From, you know, there were German reporters and French reporters, and there was, you know, Dutch national television, ABC, NBC, everybody, all these cameras around her shooting, you know, her and what she said and what she did. And when she came to our table to do an interview, they crowded in like they were going to you know, eat us. I mean, it was bizarre to see this confluence of media around one person because she knows how to work the media, let's say. And she, at that time, regardless of, I don't care what you think of Michelle Bachmann, I don't care if you liked her or disliked her, whatever, she got a lot of media. And I was shocked at the confluence of media to cover something that when you actually see it, you're like, what's the big deal? When you're there, you know, yeah, there's a lot of delegates on the floor at the convention, and it's exciting, and there's parties in the hotels, and people are actually doing work. They're doing political work, and they're at a convention. But it's bizarre because there's so many people from the media. So I feel the need to shift and almost get out of the reading part of what I do, and I'll continue to do that, but get out of that and start to get just, I want to see what goes on. And I want to actually participate in these events because I think it'll change my, demeanor a little bit. I'll feel better about stuff because I'll be actually seeing what is going on instead of reading about it. And you should do the same thing. You know, people, whenever they can, should participate, because it changes, you'll go from being bitter and angry to not necessarily hopeful, but you'll understand. You'll understand the process better, and you'll have an informed opinion because you will have talked to people that don't necessarily agree with you, and you'll have been forced, and I'm saying this to myself as much as I'm saying it to people who are listening to the podcast, you will have been forced to participate in something that wasn't just you, that wasn't just, you weren't just sitting there watching Fox News in your chair or reading stuff that only you were interested in or reading stuff from one political source and no others to get one side of the view. So that's kind of, this is one of those podcast consciousness podcasts, just sitting out here watching and listening and seeing this beautiful night. You know, the sky is now this sort of deep azure. It's not blue, it's this azure color that and there's one star up there and the street lights have come on and, you know, it's quiet and I had a great dinner and, you know, I made a great pot of coffee and it makes you kind of philosophical. And I've got to do these podcasts like this occasionally where I just kind of talk about stuff off the top of my head because I can't do the other ones that are, you know, more useful to you perhaps in terms of just saying, here's what's going on in the world and here's the things that you have to look for as you head off into a Monday. This is just more of a philosophical moment. And it comes also from traveling that, you know, going from one thing to the next and just driving and seeing in one town and experiencing this and experiencing something else and trying this and trying that is a different experience from seeing, you know, Baltimore on television or going there or seeing California on television versus going there and passing through all the different places that you go through. And I want to hang on to that. That's the thing that I want to hang on to. So I think it's a great mind opener. And I think everybody And I mean, that includes my liberal friends, you know, my so-called liberal friends, my leftist friends, my Democrat friends. We all need to work on opening our minds and our hearts to each other, as opposed to fighting each other. It doesn't mean that you have to convince your Democrat neighbor that they have to vote Republican or vice versa. I'm not suggesting that. In fact, I'm suggesting forget that. Go find people that are of like mind and find them and get them to the polls, because that's the game. But we need to start opening our hearts and our minds to each other as citizens and just being with each other instead of this constant, I don't talk to, especially in Minnesota, I don't talk to Democrats or I don't talk to Republicans. Or I don't agree. There's very little I agree with politically with most Democrats. Sometimes we find common ground. But it's a struggle once they find out that you're on the right to be with them and to have them be with you. And we need to work on that, because that's what's breaking the country up, is all of this off the cuff rhetorical discussions that there isn't enough detail on the issues, because we're focusing on personalities and what somebody said today, like Ted Cruz talking about leftist fascism and how there's no place for Christians in government, which. You know, on one hand, you could agree with that, but on the other hand, it's patently absurd. That's what divides us. And it's not that he said it, that's the playbook. It's not that he said that. It's that we're susceptible to that kind of rhetoric because we don't read enough about issues anymore. We just are keying off the rhetoric. So that's my big philosophical thought tonight in podcast. What is this? Podcast 359? I think it is. Podcast 359, the Bob Davis Podcast, The New Talk. This one's sponsored by Ryan Plumbing and Heating. Now, it's dark, so it has gotten dark during the podcast, so it's going to be hard for me to get my copy out to read you the numbers for Ryan Plumbing and Heating. But just remember this. First of all, get ready for the global warming summer and have Ryan come out and check your air conditioning. Second of all, don't forget that they are also great for things like in-floor heat, which is really cool if you're building a new room for use next winter. Also, your bathrooms, things like that. Interest rates are low, so if you're going to do that, this is a great time to do that. Now, I got to find the number. Yeah, here it is. If you want reliable service, also emergency service, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul. You call 651-224-4771 in Minneapolis at 612-927-6488, or you can go to ryanplumbing.com. All that info is there. They are great. Greg Ryan is great. It's a great bunch of guys. And if you need help or if you need emergency service, give them a call. Also want to thank the digital sponsors of the Bob Davis Podcast, Mad K Studios. If you click on the banner, you're going to see what they do. And that's basically quality original automotive artwork. Ken is great. They're going to be at a lot of these antique car shows. And I think I'm going to be there too with the podcast Ambulance. So stay tuned for information about that. But Ken does great automotive artwork. So if you have a favorite car or something, it's an actual piece of artwork. It's not a picture. And if you click on the Mad K Studios banner, it will take you to their Facebook page. You can see some of the stuff that they've done. I want to thank the listeners of the Bob Davis Podcast listening on Stitcher.com. If you have an Android device, a lot of people this week and we're saying, well, how do I get the podcasts? If you have an Android device, Stitcher.com is really good for that. But it also works with iPhones. Also, iTunes, the granddaddy. You know, your iPhone comes with an iTunes app so that you can get podcasts. It actually comes with a podcast app. And TuneIn as well. And then also, if you look at the page of the BobDavisPodcast.com, underneath all the links to Stitcher, iTunes, TuneIn, you're going to see a Blog Talk Radio link, which takes you to Blog Talk Radio, where you can listen to the podcast in real time. So there's a player, and it will start playing. If you click on it, it'll start playing the latest podcast that's been posted. You can listen to the podcast on the page at the BobDavisPodcast.com. You can listen on Blog Talk Radio, which is a brand new feature, and welcome you, Blog Talk Radio people, or you can listen to those other apps, and thank you for doing that. Don't forget the big yellow donate button. You can donate safely and securely through PayPal. So you can donate if you have a credit card, you can donate that way, and it's also, once again, it's through PayPal, so it's very secure. and PayPal has been secure for a long time, but I really appreciate the donations. I am now saving up donations to get ready to go out and use up diesel fuel to go to another event. So the PayPal of donations is exclusively for Mobile Podcast Command, just so you know. I'm not spending that for steak and coffee. Unless I'm on the road, I use that account for Komodo Dragon coffee on the road and diesel fuel. That's pretty much the basis of that. But that is the Podcast Mobile Command unit account. So if you want to make a donation, I really, really appreciate it. And thank you guys for crowdfunding Mobile Podcast Command. More about that as we go forward. I've gone on long enough. It's time to go inside because my feet are cold, just like they used to be when I was a kid and the streetlights came on. It was time to go inside. So thanks for listening to the Bob Davis Podcast 359.